It was a balmy morning, and the room was musty. The morning sun was beginning to peek through the window. The air was thick, and there was not enough room for all of us. Crowded together, I could hear the person right next to me breathing deeply as we sat down. The city was bustling with pilgrims from all over the known land, visiting Jerusalem for the festival. For years, I had looked forward to the Feast of Weeks, when we offer our first fruits back to God and thank Yahweh for provision of the wheat harvest. Also called Pentecost, it is 50 days after Passover, and we recount God's faithfulness in giving the Torah at Mount Sinai. God came down in the fire and the smoke and thunder on the mountain to show us how to live and to covenant with the Israelites. It is a time of feasting, praying, and renewing our covenant with God. And yet, it was different this time. Christ was no longer with us. Our custom was to pray, even as Daniel prayed, three times a day. And so it was time for our morning prayer. All of us were there, not just the 11, but those of us who followed Christ as he walked and healed and taught, including some of us women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. There were about 120 of us all together. Our Christ had told us to wait, and so we were waiting, but we weren't sure what we were waiting for. Jesus had mentioned the gift of the Holy Spirit, yet we could not quite imagine what that would look like or how we would even recognize it. So, sitting on the floor in prayer, we heard something that sounded like a strong, rushing wind beginning to blow. We wondered if the storm was coming, but the wind never actually blew. The sound of the wind filled the whole house as if a storm had come, but we could not see it nor feel it. Yet it was refreshing. It was like nothing I had ever experienced, and so it's hard to describe. We looked at each other and we wondered. Then, as if that wasn't enough to capture our attention, we saw flames above each of us. It was not the kind that consumes, but a bright and warm light. It almost looked like a tongue resting as a crown on top of each person's head. And in an instant, it was glorious. And we were filled with wonder and awe. And then, without a moment to take that in, I realized that I was hearing different languages being spoken. And then strangely, I realized that I too was one of the ones speaking. And these were languages unknown to us. The refreshing sensation turned into a wonder-filled cacophony of sound. Neighbors outside began to notice what was happening. Curiously, they peeked in through the window, opened the door, and marveled. Pilgrims from all over began to hear us speaking about the glory of God in their own language. We were all amazed. This was new, it was perplexing, it was exciting and bewildering. Some were astonished, some questioned what was happening, others were skeptical, and who could blame them? As we considered what was happening, we turned to each other, we turned to Scripture, and we recounted what Christ had taught us to help us understand. We began to realize that this was something more significant than we could imagine. Strangers joined us in amazement and curiosity. A new work and a new era was beginning. I have often wondered what it might have been like to have been there at Pentecost when the Spirit of God literally blew in, filling this unlikely community and birthing the church. While the Jewish followers of Christ were there for the Jewish celebration that they also call Pentecost, which is celebrated 50 days after Passover, the Spirit came establishing a new Pentecost for the church 50 days after the resurrection. Throughout Scripture, we have seen the work of the Spirit of God many times. And the outpouring of God's Spirit reminds us of those theophany events, those visible manifestations of God to humanity. God was in the storm, the thunder, the fire, and the smoke on Mount Sinai for Moses and the Israelites. And God was in the still, small voice that came after the earthquake, the wind, and the fire for Elijah on that same mountain. The Spirit descends upon Christ at his baptism in the form of a dove. Like an ordination or a commissioning, God blesses Christ at the beginning of his earthly ministry. So here in Acts, we see a similar outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, ushering in a new mission and a new era for the disciples, for the church, and for us too. As theologian Willie Jennings puts it, the time of joining and expansion has begun. The Spirit is not controlled by us. It is outwardly seeking. This promised gift of the Spirit brings peace out of the chaos. Just as the Spirit or Ruach of God hovered over the waters in creation, so the Spirit comes hovering over the chaos of our world. Flames that resemble tongues blessed and ordained this infant church to spread the peace of Christ in all places. In the diversity of cultures and languages, all hear God's word, and the Spirit draws others in. The Ruach blows into chaos, creating unity out of diversity. In this extraordinary display of God's power and Spirit, Ruach is the Hebrew word for the Spirit of God. Its foundational meaning is moving air, whether a breath or a breeze or a violent storm. It is the Ruach, or the breath of God, that gives life to Adam in Genesis. In Greek, this same word is pneuma. This very Spirit, this enlivening breath of God, is now given to the church for the glory of God in all places. It was not a neat or a tidy experience. Some were perplexed and amazed, and others skeptical, even dismissing this event as having nothing to do with God. And it's easy to be critical of the naysayers. I mean, how could they not see that God was doing something new? After all, this had been talked about for a while. It's been promised. But then, don't we have similar reactions today? I mean, let's face it. We can be a skeptical people. Inappropriate use of God told me this or God told me that has led many to distrust similar language about how we see and talk about God and God's work. Damage has been done in the name of Christ, and so we have a holy fear about how we talk about God. But what we see here is that the Spirit of God comes to the community for the sake of God's glory. This is not an individual experience, but a communal one. It happens in community, it is discerned in community, and it is for the furtherance and the expansion of the community of God. In their amazement, this larger group of disciples, both women and men, discerned that God was fulfilling prophecy, as declared by the prophet Joel, and that this experience was the gift promised by Christ. Together, they realized that all was being turned upside down. The great family of God was being expanded and redefined. Sons and daughters prophesy. The young have vision, and the old dream dreams, and almost a reversal of norms. A transformation was beginning to take place. The church was born in this moment with transformative power. to accomplish the mission so that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the new covenant that Christ talked about. The first covenant, initiated at Sinai with fire and wind, was with the children of Israel. And this covenant is with God's church. And it's only possible by the transformative power of the Spirit of God. The great joining and expansion has begun. In Acts, the Holy Spirit blows into new and unexpected places for ministry for the sake of the community. The old have dreams and hope, and in unanticipated ways, the young have visions and wisdom. Women and men tell about the works of God. This same Spirit has been at work in Scripture, beginning with the Torah and the Psalms. The psalmist often refers to the Spirit as wisdom and the breath of God. John helps us to understand the Spirit as the very presence of Christ in Christ's physical absence. The Holy Spirit is teacher, comforter, advocate, and ushers in the peace of Christ. In the letter to the Romans, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of inclusion and adoption. Paul also reminds us in his letters that the Spirit develops gifts within the body for the sake of the building up of Christian community. As no one word or description fully defines what the Spirit means for us, Acts paints a picture, a word picture, describing for us in detail the evidence of the Spirit at work in the life of this young church. This Pentecost event is vivid and it seems extravagant. And we are tempted to think that the Spirit just does not work like this anymore. So we are left wondering, what can this mean for us today? Well, we need the Holy Spirit. We are made for community and we need the breath of God to blow in and bring unity in the midst of our diversity. Our lives are often disjointed, and the Spirit of God can build bonds, create bridges, and join us to each other. We need the Holy Spirit to transform our weariness into action, strengthen our wills. We need the Holy Spirit to slow us down for listening and to help us carve out time for the purposes of God. The Spirit of God breathes new life into the ordinary. And in an age of skepticism, God's Spirit can renew our vigor for listening to Scripture in community and quell our doubts about the purpose of prayer. While we are made for community, it is hard work. It is not easy. It is only through the breath of God that the church can embody the peace of Christ. We cannot do this on our own. So how can we be open to the Spirit in our own lives and in the life of the church? In our society of instant gratification, we have Instagram and instant messenger, instant downloading. None of us want to wait in lines. We try to find the shortest line at HEB. We need help learning how to wait. The Holy Spirit needs to train us to wait and to slow down before God. It takes intentionality to be open to the Spirit of God. And discernment takes time, and it can often seem inconvenient. Listening in community with others takes us back to Scripture and provokes us to wait and to reflect. We often say the prayer around here, "Lord, open our eyes so that we may see, and our ears so that we may hear." Seeing and hearing with the eyes of the Spirit can result in recognizing a call from God that may be uncomfortable. It may be a call to repentance, or it may be a call to change. It may be a call for reconciliation, or a call to discipline, or a call to action, or a call to rest. It often is not easy. And this is precisely why opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit is a communal act. We need each other to discern and to help us follow through. Brother Lawrence wrote Practicing the Presence of God in 1895 to help others learn the discipline of noticing God at work in and around them. Although we may not see the Holy Spirit enlivening our speech in other languages very often, God's Spirit is still at work and moving, transforming and joining. And this summer, we will hear from others in the congregation, just as Becky shared today, about how they might have noticed God at work in and around them, and they can witness to our own faith in Christ. Brother Lawrence urges those he mentors to be patient with themselves, as he says, "In the beginning, it will seem like you are wasting time as you open your eyes and ears to the work of God. Seeing God and opening ourselves to the Spirit takes effort, as it conflicts with how we have been trained by our culture. So as a church around here, we make effort to create space for God's Spirit. On Wednesday evenings this summer, all who wish are welcome to come for centering prayer. It is a time of listening to God together in silence, and I have found it very helpful and better to do this with others than trying to do it on my own, or solely on my own. We learn, we practice, we listen to Scripture, and we reflect together. And during spiritual formation on Sunday mornings, we gather together to open our eyes and our ears to hear what God might have to say to us through Scripture. This summer, we're in Luke and the different parables in Luke. So creating space for the Holy Spirit to move and convict, open our eyes, and change our wills is inconvenient to our modern sensibilities. But make no mistake, the Spirit of God is moving in what Dwight Judy calls a quiet Pentecost in our churches today. It may not be in flames of tongues from Pentecost, but God is still transforming for the sake of His glory in the church, and we are invited to participate. In small groups and through relationships, the Spirit of God is renewing lives one by one. It always seems to involve others. It always seems to involve prayer and Scripture. We have to create space for it and make ourselves available to see and hear it. A mother dove has found my hanging basket on the patio to be her favorite spot for building a nest and laying eggs. And just when I think she is done and the babies have flown the nest, and I want to remove the nest and put my flowers back in, once again she's back and there are more eggs. It's a never-ending battle with her. But yesterday I heard a lot of commotion going on in this basket. And then I watched as the mother dove tried to teach her young how to fly. She called to them and flew to the fence and turned and looked at the basket and made her noises, trying to get her young to fly to her, and they wouldn't have it. She flew back and talked to them and flew back to the fence. And then the father dove came and did the same thing. And there the two of them were on the fence, calling to the basket. And eventually one brave young bird flew out to discover the world on her own. I was glad I got to see it. Who knows how many times I have missed this little wonderful thing that I got to see. I mean, I've missed it many times. And there I was. I saw it. And I got to notice it. To open our eyes requires intentionality. We have to stop and watch. Opening ourselves to God in community is the same way. When our wills and energy fail us, the Spirit of God can take our listlessness and our doubt and our apathy and breathe new life, if we are willing. We may need to wait in the upper room for a while and listen. And we will no doubt need the church community to walk with us and sharpen us. It is for this very community that the gift of the Spirit has come and continues to come, so that God may be glorified in our lives and in the church. The joy of Pentecost is that we have a new vision and a new hope for Christian community. This peace of Christ shared through the Holy Spirit blows over the chaos of our world and our lives, bringing new life and joining in surprising ways. And today we have so much to celebrate. I see some of you are wearing red in honor of our celebration. It's one of my favorite days in the church calendar. It is the birthday of the church. We remember how the church was born by the Holy Spirit and transformed the lives of ordinary people and created a community in the midst of the diversity. So God's Spirit is still at work among us and in us and in the larger church today. In small groups, God is drawing people together. God is renewing lives and bringing about reconciliation. As we listen to Scripture in community, God is still calling us to be about the ministry of God in this place and in our community and in our world. With Pentecost, the Holy Spirit provides the transformation and the bolstering we need to continue to share the Easter hope of Christ's resurrection. Pentecost is a story of a miracle, of God at work, enabling the church to act with boldness, hospitality, and discernment. And it's an invitation to us today. So may it be with us today that the Holy Spirit will enliven our hearts, invigorate our wills, create unity in the midst of diversity, helping us to discern God's work among us. Hear now the words of Christ in one of his last instructions from the Gospel of John. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Let's pray. Mighty God, we praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Enliven our hearts, renew our vigor, open our eyes so that we may see glimpses of your Spirit at work around us, and strengthen our wills so that we may join you in being a part of your redeeming work. Give us courage to hear and respond to you. We seek your transforming Spirit in our community for the sake of your glory. Amen.